What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews, my favorite episodes every single week where we get to talk to short-term rental investors willing to share the good, the bad, the ugly in their journey into short-term rental investing so we can all learn and get better and raise that bar. Today, we've got Ms. Christine Owens. I appreciate you joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be fun. Kevin it was not able to join us. And so you and I were talking before we hit record. We're going to super miss Kevin, but you and I are going to have a really good conversation about your guys' journey into short-term rental investing. We have a lot of things we can talk about. You guys have been, you know, diving into this game, doing a lot. You have a company called Pick Me, photography services there. So, you know, it's, you know, where you understand lifestyle photography and we can dive into some of that. You just dove in, you started off with full service management, just dove into self-management on a property. So we're going to dive into a lot of different conversations probably throughout this. But I always like to start with your backstory. Where are you from? What pays the bills? What got you guys kind of interested in short-term rental investing in the first place? And then let's talk about the journey.
Got it. It's funny because I was actually thinking about this morning. I've done one of these with you a couple of years ago. And so yeah. I knew that you were going to ask that question. And yeah. I was thinking back to like when we were actually signing up for Vodacy, like what started all of those types of things. And then I'll give you our professional backgrounds too. But we were actually on vacation and I Googled short-term rental vacation podcasts trying to find somebody because we were like, we could do this too. And it was way back when you were Lifestyle Asset University, I think, yeah. Before it was Vodacy.
The original name,
yeah. We were listening to the OG way yeah. back when. But so that's how we found you. Kevin and I both have full-time W-2 jobs that we do. You mentioned that we've got some other side businesses that we'll talk about as we, you know, get into all of this. But my background is predominantly sales and communication. I work in sales and actually talk to people on Google Meet all day, every day, selling stuff across the country. And so this is definitely no stranger to me.
You're used to the virtual meetings and podcasts and everything else. Sales presentations, all of the above.
Yeah, I'm definitely familiar with the online meetings with people all day, every day. So that's my background is sales. And then Kevin is in engineering, manufacturing. He's a plant engineering manager at a big mega factory here about 45 minutes away. So he's got an engineering background. I'm sales communication, but we've both always kind of had a knack for creativity and we've renovated our own home multiple times. We, you know, designed an actual floor plan. I did it on paper. He put it in CAD. We had an architect sign off on it and make sure everything was correct. So we've kind of always had a knack for stuff like that. We've always been DIYers, all of those kind of things. And, you know, you're curious about, you know, what does it look like to get into short-term rentals? How could we do it? Found you. Listened probably for 6 months or so, maybe a little bit more before we felt like, I don't know, maybe we're supposed to do something with this and just not listen. And so that's kind of how we got here and found you and decided to take the plunge into short-term rentals. But we didn't have any background as far as like, you know, hadn't had any long-term rentals. I know that's pretty common. People have like midterms or long-terms and then they decide this is more fun and get out of that. But I feel like it was pretty much cold turkey for us. We went from just, you know, being typical people who were saving money and working our jobs and raising our families and stuff to taking a huge leap of faith and joining Vodacy and deciding that we were going to do this whole short-term rental journey.
Love it. So when you started diving into that, like you said, you were on vacation. Were you on vacation in the market you guys ended up settling on?
No.
Or like talk me through the property and market selection.
Yeah, no, but that particular market was on an island and it was amazing. And I would still love to end up there someday, but that was a little out of our price range, just as islands could be with, you know, limited, there's a land or, you know, limited amount of land inventory.
Not a lot of options.
We
like the beaches though. You still ended up in a warm beach area.
We did. Yeah. We love the mountains. We love the beach. So it's like goal someday would be to have a house both places. But ultimately, we visit the beach more frequently, ended up looking in quite a few different markets, had offers that got rejected. We looked in, you know, south, like the Georgia, like the North Georgia area. That was definitely a big contender. Made some offers on houses that didn't go through, made an offer and actually went under contract in a house in a different Florida market that fell through. And in hindsight, was honestly felt like that was a blessing from God, an unanswered prayer that wasn't supposed to be, all those kind of things. And then ended up in Destin, in a beach market. It felt like for us, at least initially, the occupancy was really, you know, good. All of those kind of things. We love the area, found a property that's walkable to the beach, no roads to cross, it's in a gated area, lots of great features. And so felt like that was the right one for us to start our journey.
Love it. Love it. And we're going on how many years now with the property?
2.5, I think. Okay. 2.5-ish.
2.5 years. Yeah. So it's always, so you guys, when we got the property and just from the, your thoughts and of how that market is, like people are always like, oh, is the, you know, we hear about, especially the Florida markets where we say, mm-hmm. You know, the Florida markets are dropping down and everything else. And we are seeing some good buys on properties right now. We are seeing some, like we since the high, or when interest rates hiked in mid 2022, mm-hmm. that's kind of the high in most of the markets. We've kind of been, many markets have hovered around 1 or 2% appreciation that are still maybe going up a little bit. But some of the markets like Florida have actually dropped in price a little bit in, mm-hmm. in some of those markets. So we hear that. And a lot of people think that it actually has to do with the back end as well. When you guys are seeing it or going there or visiting it, does it feel like that those beaches are empty and nobody's going down to that area?
I wish.
Yeah, right.
We go in December to avoid the crowds because we love the warm. We love the beach, and I do love crowds, and there's something to be said for like the whole summer environment, but we also love to occupy it when it's not primo rates and we're not taking away from income potential, that kind of thing. Right. So definitely that is not the case. I'll say that's it is still the case. Yeah.
When we see it on the back end, I wanted to hear it from somebody kind of on the front lines, but when we're looking at the numbers and the data, it's like, man, there's still a lot of people visiting these areas. Now, that is a major market. That is, there's lots of competition. There's lots of different things to do. And that you have to do, in my opinion, to really stand out in these markets. And there's, it's hard, right? There's a lot of things. We talked about this last time we were talking about this. It was a little bit more fresh on right after the launch and going through that property and doing all that, like getting it in a position to stand out, in a position to kind of get its unfair share of business, because in markets like Destin, those major markets, the consumer loves them. They still go, they're there, but you're also competing against a lot of people and you have to do certain things. And we always talk about buying the right property in the right area with the right amenities. And so we can talk a little bit about that, but mm-hmm. there's other properties in your same area with the same amenities and same proximity. And so then we have to do other things to really create these immersive experiences. And then after we create it, we've got to articulate it. And you guys have done a beautiful job of both of those things. And so walk me through a little bit about how that process went for you guys and really diving in and buying off on going kind of all in and how you feel like after having it for a couple of years, how that has made a difference, because the competition is pretty stiff out there.
Yeah. You know, one of the things that, you know, we don't have a beach view. So we have come to realize that, you know, that's something that we can't change. We know that, obviously, but that certainly, you know, if people filter for that, then we don't get filtered in. So that's something that we can't control. So what we've kind of looked at is okay, what can we control? Mm-hmm. And over the 2.5 years, we always have followed the Vodacy formula, I would say, as far as like we had Mike's artwork in the house from day one. We had over, you know, giant sized artwork, those kind of things. But as we've learned and grown, and you know, you talk about a little bit about the iterations of almost the Vodacy design and how it's evolved and those kind of things. So we've kind of evolved too and realized a little bit that the market, like that we needed to kind of do more, especially in that market. There are some markets where you can, you know, just have some of the artwork and then that's like already killing people because it's such a, you know, just like not a major market or those types of things. Right. But Destin's a major market and we're starting to see, you know, as we look at the competition, we're starting to see, you know, better photos. People aren't showing terrible photos anymore, those types of things. So we kept feeling challenged of like, How do we up our game? How do we really stand out? Because we're never going to compete with beachfront. We know that, but we walk right out to the beach. We've got some amazing amenities. We have a huge, like we've got a backyard. We've got 1700 square feet. We have 26 foot ceilings in our property, yeah, which is unheard of. You know, most condos have 8 foot ceilings, that kind of thing. And so we really wanted to do some things. And so just really leaning into trying to figure out how do we not only, you know, have some really cool design elements, but how do we just continue to immerse people? How do we continue to create that experience? And so we painted our fireplace, our 26 foot tall fireplace blue, and it's amazing. It pops off the wall now. It helps make the place look bigger. I actually went and brought two of my recliners home to where I live in Kentucky, had them recovered in bright orange performance velvet fabric because I couldn't find chairs anywhere that were bright and good quality that I liked. And so we just really have leaned into some of that. We found a local artist who paints murals. We actually met her on a kayaking trip, super random, kept her card, contacted her a year later, and we've had her paint two huge life-size murals behind our beds to complement the art that we had for Mike. So it's like we've got that, and then we've kind of, in our opinion, like raised the bar a little bit more for what we could do to kind of piggyback off of that. So really trying to amp up, you know, adding amenities, games, putting green, whatever we can do to just stay competitive and to really elevate things above and beyond what others are doing there in a saturated market.
And it's and you brought up two really good points. One, you're not on the beach, right? We're not like beachfront. Mm-hmm. We're not looking right out of the beach. We're really close. Your access to the beach is really good, but we don't have beach views and ocean views. And some of the people we're competing against do have that. And so it's like, okay, how can I bring my property to life and give the consumer something that they are not doing? You know, because many times when you do have the best proximity in a beach market or a ski market or something like that, you just rely on that. And you don't realize, like, if you actually combine that with the things that we're talking about and that you're mentioning. And as we're going through this, you guys, always we put links to these properties in the show notes because we believe success leaves clues. And the things that Christine is talking about, if you pull up the listing, you're going to really notice it, like the color theory and the contrast between the blues and the oranges and bringing the beach to life in that property and really creating that, what I always keep calling an immersive experience. And even since the first time we talked, you guys have raised the bar since then. And like with the giant murals and some of those other things. And like you said, I love the blue fireplace. I think it's awesome. And then the orange sofas or the recliners.
Yeah.
And I mean, it just all very much fits together, congruent and cohesive, but like a really fun, like beach vibe that's fairly vibrant and contrasting, right? With the oranges and the blues. And so, you know, as you're doing some of that stuff and then leaning into the positives about the property, it's big, right? 1700 square feet. It's a big townhome that, you know, and most of these townhomes and that are, is it two or three bedrooms? I can't remember.
It's two bedrooms. Yeah.
So two bedrooms. I mean, many times you're not getting much over 1,000 square feet, right? And so you got a lot, you got some backyard space, you put that putting green in there, which is really fun. You're able to grill back there, all of those different things that you're able to lean into that a lot of those beachfront condos don't have that, right? And so instead of just sitting there and having a model home that has some of that stuff, you're really highlighting it along with bringing the beach to life, right? There's going to be some of the beachgoers that are like, man, I'll trade, you know, walking to the beach that's really close, I'll trade that view for some extra space and all those things. And that's what you're trying to do in a very crowded market, right?
That's the hope.
And still have amenities, right? We've got the pools and we've got some of that stuff.
Got pickleball, tennis, pool, fire pit, all pretty much everything but a hot tub.
Yeah. When did you go? Because this is different than our last conversation. And actually, this is the first time. And I know you just launched into self-management, but I actually hadn't seen the murals until I saw your new listing.
Yeah. So most of that's brand new. Okay. We made the decision last fall to go to self-management. It just felt like we had just learned so much. Like for us, launching with property management, 100% the right call. We were not ready. We did not know enough. I don't think that we were equipped at that point. It was 100% the right call for us. But we have learned so much from the calls and like our own experience, our own research and talking to people and making friends in Bodicea and all of those things. And we were already really involved in the sense of like wanting to rearrange the photos and wanting to, you know, tweak the pricing and wanting to do these things, but basically had no control. And that for us was just like, we just needed to have the actual control and start putting to into practice the things that we had done. But we knew though, when we were going to do this, it's like, when we go to do this launch, you talk about this all the time. When people go to launch a property, we were absolutely not wasting that OTA love. We said, we're going all in. If we're going to get this new launch, we hope this is the only ever launch we ever have for this property again. We're going to do it right. And we're literally pulling out all the stops, all the things we thought we wanted to do. Let's do them now because they need to be in the photos. So we went, I guess they came and painted the murals like over Christmas, went and actually my daughter and I went and picked up the chairs one day and then drove 8 hours home the next day with them because I found a person who would recover them. It was this whole like fiasco orchestration of all these things, a beautiful storm. And then he and I went down there, restaged everything, put the new chairs in, put in new beddings and things like that, and then reshot all of the stuff ourselves. Because you mentioned that we do photography, and that's been a huge piece for us of like our journey of learning and evolving. And man, what a cool journey that's been, thanks to Bodicea, essentially.
Yeah, that's awesome. And you mentioned, so I at least feel good that I'm not that far behind, because I was like, this is right when I pulled it up, I'm like, I haven't seen this one yet since you posted it.
It was all brand new.
I didn't know like it. So that was my first opportunity to see it. So that makes me feel good. Cause you know, we talk enough that I probably should know that, if you're making all those changes,
you didn't miss a thing.
Yeah. So good. I'm glad I wasn't missing too much. You mentioned something that I want to highlight. And you mentioned that you started off with full service management, learned a lot, and then felt like, hey, listen, we're in a position now to do self-management. Mm-hmm. I want to highlight that, because I see a lot of new investors coming into the game. And a lot of new investors say, I'm going to self-manage because I want to learn this business. And I always suggest the opposite. I always say, hey, listen, if you really want to self-manage and you really want to learn the business, hire a manager, actually learn the business, actually understand what goes into this, actually understand, you know, what you're doing in, like you guys did inside of Bodicea. It is very rare that I see people take that path as much as far as intentionally taking that path versus saying, I want to learn the business on my own and go self-manage. And I'm like, man, that's sometimes a tough, right? Luckily within Bodicea, we've got a lot of, we got a really good community and support there. But it's still a hard way to learn the business, in my opinion. And so I love that you brought that up, that you said, hey, listen, because we did it this way, we felt and had a lot of confidence diving into it now on the self-management side, which I think you guys are going to do great. And like you said, you were already involved in it, right? You, with all the stuff you were doing with Pick Me and ultimately helping a lot of our other members do that stuff. You're not just involved in the photography, you're involved in listing optimization and sequencing and putting these listings together. You're like, hey, listen, we're already doing this. Let's do it for ours, right?
Let's just do it all anyway.
Yeah, you're already doing it. And so you might as well do it. How about though, you guys are in Kentucky and the property's in Destin. Mm-hmm. And where did you find the, like your boots on the ground support, the cleaners and the people that you really need there, which is really your cleaning crew?
Again, I mean, organically through the process of being under property management and just time and like getting to know people. I am on the HOA board now in my neighborhood, and the president is next door to us, and we've become friends. I've become friends with all of the people on the HOA. Many of them almost no one in our neighborhood rents. I think there's like 5 out of 30 that rent. It's mostly people who either live there full time or people who just, it's a second home and they just visit it and they're retired and they live like in Baton Rouge, Louisiana, a few hours away or something like that. So really quiet, quaint, but met people through that. So that was amazing, meeting her and her daughters, actually helping us do some little like techie things and some check-in things, like if we need TVs logged back in, things like that. So that's been amazing to have her like right there next door. But ultimately we met our handyman through our previous property manager. He actually was working for him and then started his own business. And then it really felt like a God thing. He just like reached out to us randomly through Facebook right about the time we were ready to go to self-management. And it was like, okay, all right, this is good. And so just have organically made connections with people. And, you know, cleaning wise, we did actually just interview cleaners over the, you know, like when we were down there, we met people. But as far as like maintenance and people who were able to help us check in, all of that was organic relationships that we created through time and communication. And, you know, like I said, having had a property manager before and then meeting people and seeing what worked, seeing what didn't work, those kind of things.
Love it. And you know, down there, it's probably a little bit rare. More rare than other markets to find in a complex that is mainly owners, right? That are not renting out, right? This is when you get into these major resort kind of markets, destinations like a Destin or the greater, you know, Gulf Coast, there is most of the townhomes, condos, HOA communities, a lot of them are rentals. They're all, a lot of them are short-term rentals. And so, but you know, you found one that wasn't, sometimes that can be a drawback because all the owners are like, hey, listen, we don't want any short-term rentals in here.
Yeah.
You know, you and Kevin are really easy to get along with and like, and so when you get involved, it's probably hard to be, you know, too mad at you for what you're going to do. But did you have any resistance? Did you have any pushback from any of the owners when they started, you know, you're getting involved, but they also know that you're, you know, air quotes, not one of them, right? You're bringing in the rental. Did you have any pushback when it came to that?
Not at all. They've all been amazing. I mean, I think again, it's like they met us first and started to get to know us. And it wasn't just like, we didn't come in there just like demanding things or whatever. We definitely came in quietly and started making friendships and just like organically having conversations with people and would show, you know, we've invited our next door neighbor in a million times, like, hey, come see what we did. And she loves it. She's like, every time we do something, she's like, oh my gosh, this is the coolest thing ever. And, you know, so no, thankfully. And there were other people who had already been renting. And I think that out of the ones, like we have certainly been one to kind of like bring up raise the bar. There we go. It's like, what am I trying to say? Raise the bar, both from like what we're doing and who we're trying to attract and those types of things. So thankfully, no, but it certainly could have been an issue, right? If we had really been like the first ones trying to break into that.
Well, and it's how you handle it, right? You build the relationship first and you talk to them and they realize, hey, we're just real people, right? And we don't want we want the best guests in here as much as you do. And we're going to do everything we can to do that. And like you said, we're going to raise the bar. We're going to charge more money. This isn't we're not just bringing in riffraff to have parties here. We want really good people in here as much as you do. And when they know that you feel like that, and they understand you as a person, like the very number one thing I tell people when they're like, how do I get my neighbors on board? I'm like, go reach out to them, introduce yourself.
Go be a good neighbor.
become a neighbor. Yeah. Be a good neighbor. Yeah. Exactly. Let them know that, you know, we're here to, you know, we're here all trying to achieve the same thing. And if anything, we want to make sure that we're raising the bar for the area than if anything else. And so, and they appreciate that. And a lot of times people appreciate that you allow them to know what you're doing. It's not a secret. We tell them what we're doing. It kind of feels like they have a voice, right? And that they're kind of understood. If they have a problem, they know that they can talk to you about it. And we open that up. And a lot of times just almost that invitation that, hey, we're here for you. If you have any problems, if there's somebody in here you don't like, call me because I don't want them in here probably either. So
100%.
Just knowing that they can do that, immediately it takes the temperature down. And so I know you guys naturally do that and you naturally walked into that way and it's got some great relationships on the back end. And so, and that's going to serve well for the future, obviously. Right. And that's something that is those long-term getting involved in the HOA, getting involved in, and one, keeping your finger on the pulse of what's going on, what the conversations are. Those are all very beneficial as an investor for us to know. And so doing all of those things correctly. Our launch, so we did that. We talked a little bit about the timing of the launch, but walk me through, you know, the launch, how we feel like we're going into our peak season, right?
Yep.
And so Are you, tell me like on an optimistic, pessimistic scale, where are we at with everything?
We never want to count chickens before they're hatched, right? And want to give credit where credit's due. I feel like we've been blessed so far. It definitely feels like a lot of things have come into place, come together in our favor at this point. A lot of effort going into it. It felt like death by a thousand paper cuts at times, applying for licenses and doing things. Yeah. But at every little turn, it was like just things would just come together and something would click and you know, whatnot. And it was good. But so we launched the second week of March. I believe tomorrow will be 4 weeks to the day since we've launched. And of course we did the whole like, you know, rolling discount for like 45 days, that kind of thing. But we've got our summer pricing pretty aggressive, like where we would want it if we weren't launching. And so far, and we'll just call it 4 weeks, we've had 12 bookings. So we're averaging like 3 bookings a week at this point.
That's awesome. I mean, we're always looking for like 1 to 2 a week. It's good. Yeah.
Feel like it's been strong and people are booking at full price and for the summer. I mean, we're obviously like getting some lower price stuff now, but even with that, like, I don't feel like it's unreasonable. I think we're going to do similar to like what we probably did last year, not being in a launch phase.
Yeah. And that's what I was curious on, right? Because a lot of us go through a launch when you relaunch and you already had a property that was past the launch phase, which launch phase is our lowest pricing. And we're able to start to become close to that number that you know, gives us confidence that we could be maybe push those prices with all the work that you did and the optimization that you made beyond that, especially if we're starting to see some of those similar numbers from year over year, even though we're in the launch as we did last year. So that's great. And you know, like you said, you know, you're kind of like hedging your bet, like knocking on wood with some of the, like, I don't want to be like, we're off to the races. It's only four weeks in, but a lot of positive signs there, which is good. How do you feel about the differences between full service management and self-management now that you're a week in? You know, you were doing a lot of the background, like listing optimization stuff, but you weren't doing some of the other stuff, right? So how's that feeling?
It's stressful. It can be stressful. It's a mix of stressful and rewarding, I would say. And I'm confident that some of the things will be kinks that get worked out, and we're learning from every little thing that happens, every guest communication that, you know, isn't maybe as ideal as we wanted, or something wasn't the way we wanted it. We're like, cool, make a note. We're fixing that. We're, you know, communicating more clearly about this or whatever it might be. So we're definitely learning a lot, but definitely, you know, having phone calls in the middle of the day, middle of the night, whatever. We've had too little, nothing crazy, just some little stuff. But so those have been things that we didn't have to deal with before, right? Our property manager shielded us from that stuff. And so we knew that was going to be part of it. But I think that for us, just kind of us getting our feet wet in that and realizing that it's going to be okay. Obviously, those first few ones were just like darn near begging, you know, them to love it and give us a great review and all of that. And so far we've got 4 or 5 stars. So off to a good start. Want to just keep that momentum. But yeah, I mean, it's definitely not, I wouldn't say it's for the faint of heart. I mean, you definitely need to be somebody who can roll with it, who can handle things on the fly, who's got a plan, that kind of thing. But I feel like it's also, you know, when the reviews come in and when the people are inquiring about the bookings and, you know, they're telling me their amazing stories and they're so thankful for the communication and those things, then that feels pretty rewarding. And so I'm thankful to get to have a piece of that in, you know, in trade off for the other, for sure.
Yeah, I love it. And I think what you'll find, we talk a lot about kind of strategy in our launch phase when it comes to pricing and all of that stuff, and really trying to get those reviews coming in, get the revenue coming in with the bookings. One thing we don't talk a lot about is that, like, during that launch phase, you're also kind of iterating your SOPs on setting expectations. Like, you're just like, I need to make sure that we start to mention that in our guidebook, or we need to mention that before they check in, because that's a question that's coming up. So you're stacking all of those different things on, what do I need to communicate? How do we communicate? What's the most efficient way? What do I need to make sure they know? And really kind of enhancing that guest experience. And that's what you're dealing with right now. I will say that doesn't last forever either. So it actually gets a lot better, right? As you, especially if you pay attention to it and you kind of refine that process, and then it becomes more of, hey, just the customer experience gets elevated. Everybody's on the same page. And then but issues come up. And how do you handle them? Sometimes your best reviews are going to come from some of the issues that you've had, right? We hear that all the time too. It's like, yeah, hey, listen, we had this issue and it was one of our most glowing reviews because we handled it in such a way that, you know, they felt like we cared about them, right? They felt, our guests felt, yeah, like, hey, we're in pain as much as they are. And this is important to us to fix. And they appreciate that. And so, but you're in that process right now of just kind of making sure that we're, you know, communicating the right way, we're setting the right expectations, the things that we don't think about, like, I would have thought everybody knew how to work that, you know, we put that in an instruction, right? So,
yeah.
And those will start to limit themselves as time goes on. But in the very beginning, you're seeing a lot of it and it feels like, oh man, what did I bite off on? But I will say, even though I don't self-manage, I do know that starts to fade as time goes on as well, especially, yeah, if you do a good job of paying attention to what they're asking and saying.
We add something to the communication every time they bring, yeah, something up, or like, cool, now we're going to articulate this more clearly or whatever. Right.
I love it. Final thing I want to ask you about,
yeah,
because you and Kevin got into the little, you know, kind of a side business with PicMe. Is it, I always just say PicMe. Is it PicMe Photography?
It's PicMe Photography, but okay. I mean, PicMe is fine.
Yeah. I always say PicMe, and I didn't know if there was, I thought photography is part of it, yeah, you know, but we talk about lifestyle assets all the time. Again, if you want to know what we're talking about, you guys go check out Kevin and Christine's property and it again in the show notes, but it is lifestyle photography, is really setting these scenes to where the guests can picture themselves visiting the property, using the property. You know, so we're not just showing, you know, pictures that are just blank real estate pictures. We're trying to put, you know, edibles in there, drinks, you know, maybe some props that we would be, if we're at the pickleball court, for example, you guys have the pickleball court, we've got our pickleball gear, those types of things. I was reading something yesterday from another kind of advisor out there and, mm-hmm, and coach, and saying they were analyzing a property and giving some advice. And one of the things that said, lifestyle photography, not needed. And I'm pretty sure that we coined the term lifestyle photography, and I don't know anybody else that has coined it. And I think other people use it, but not as much as we do. We talk about lifestyle photography a lot. Mm-hmm. So I think it was kind of a shot at us saying, don't do this. It's not necessary. The market doesn't necessarily need it. I completely disagree with that. I think, yeah, that this is extremely important to be able to articulate what we have to offer. You and Kevin have done an amazing job of doing that and helping other people do that. But I'm curious, you guys, I'm sure, have heard some of the, I know you work with a lot of our Vodacy members, so they're a little, mm-hmm, bit more bought into it than maybe some other outside, but I'm sure you've heard people with resistance to it because it's expensive. Mm-hmm. It's time consuming. It's, mm-hmm, you know, there's a lot of work that goes into it. Maybe just touch on that a little bit on your thoughts and, you know, your belief on how we really articulate these great properties and, you know, these immersive experiences that we invest so much into, and why and how it really kind of elevates the listing itself in some of these markets.
Yeah. Well, it's twofold. One of it doesn't have as much to do with us, but there's, you know, the design piece. I really can't say enough about that, just from our own evolution of that and, you know, seeing the different designs, seeing all kinds of varieties of, you know, people who follow it to a T, people who take pieces, things like that. But I will say first and foremost that having a solid, bold design is huge. Like that I think can never be understated or overstated. I think that is always like the first thing to focus on, because that matters. That's your canvas ultimately, right? If your canvas is blank, then there's not a lot to shoot. So I'd really strongly encourage design and focusing on that. That is huge for sure, having a bold design. But then above and beyond that, I mean, there really is a difference between having a great design and bad photos, and having a great design and then, you know, bright, colorful, staged photos. The whole idea behind your, you know, this lifestyle photography thing is that we want people to feel like they're there, that they can actually feel what it would be like, that we want to create emotions. It's not just a matter of, like, oh, wow, those are great pictures. It's painting a picture. It's telling a story that evokes emotions in people and creates that feeling and that anticipation of like, ooh, I have to book this because I want this for my family. I want us to be there experiencing these games, eating, you know, not eating this food in the sense, obviously the food's not going to be there, but it's like, oh man, like the grill and this, it's like, oh, we could have the whole family there and make this, like recreate this and that kind of thing. So I really feel like no matter the market, I think that this, you know, you might hear some of this where certainly some markets demand like the high bar, no matter what, right? Like some markets that are smaller, that maybe aren't as major, that maybe don't have as many STRs, that maybe haven't seen the Vodacy way, that kind of thing. You know, somebody might argue that you don't need to do those things, but why would you not? Like, why would you not just go all in, right? Like, why would you just be a little bit better than somebody else when you know how to be way better? And so to me, it's kind of like, don't go all the way and then just like take your foot off the gas at the end and be like, well, it's not really that hard of a market. So it's like, we don't even have to do that. We'll be fine without that. It's kind of like, well, why wouldn't you just finish strong, right? Like you wouldn't start walking in a race 2 miles before the finish line. If you're, you know, a runner, it's like, you're going to run to the finish line. And so I do feel like that's kind of my best analogy for where photography comes in. And I feel like people, so many times it's like, oh, I'm just in a hurry. I just want to get this launched. And I feel like photography gets the short end of the stick sometimes, just in the sense that people just, you know, don't quite realize how important it can be and how huge that can be. And so that's been one of the neat things that we've gotten to see working with people is just how that really can transform a property, you know, how it really can help elevate your listing above and beyond those types of things. And so I certainly can't stress it enough. It's like, don't take your foot off the gas and skip photography, or don't, you know, skim out on that, but do the design first, do that. That's important, but then finish strong with photography.
I couldn't agree more. First of all, like good photography is not going to save bad design.
No.
But good photography is going to highlight and enhance and really like put a bow on really good design and setup. Like I tell Wyatt, my son, he's playing football right now, and he's really fast, and he's faster than everybody else in his grade. Right. And so it by a long shot, but I was getting mad at him because he's winning every race, but he's not winning it by as much as he should. And it's kind of like with your analogy of like, if you know, if you can win by 15 yards, but you're only winning by 5, that's a problem in my eyes. And so I'm telling
don't him, take
I'm
your like, foot off the gas.
Right. I'm like, don't. Yeah, exactly. Just because you're winning doesn't mean that I can look at you. I know you should win by more. And maybe that's your dad, like the dad just being a, you know, pushing you. But it's kind of, it made me think of that when you were saying that. It's like, sometimes you can get away with less than in certain markets, but eventually people are going to catch up. And why would you?
And then you're going to have to redo it.
Right. And you're redoing it anyway. And, but also it is, it like we've seen it, you've seen it. And we have these conversations a lot on the details of good versus okay versus like great. And there's a lot of like photos that we look at. It's really hard to get great. It's actually really, really hard. Right. And just the right angles, you know, the difference of being, having a camera angle down a foot more than another angle, right. It's like these small little details, and we'll look at them and we're like looking at it like, you know, it's like, okay, well, you know, this photo shoot's going to win by, you know, 5 yards. And we look at it and we're like, yeah, but we could win by 15. So like, let's go, like, let's go do it. Right. And so, you know, and I think that, when it comes to this type of lifestyle photography and the cost involved in it, because it is a lot higher cost than like just a real estate photo shoot. And you're right, at the end of it, you know, it's at the end of the process. And I do think it gets the short end of the stick, because there are a lot of properties that are designed really well that actually, in my opinion, could have been articulated so much better and could have highlighted that design that was good design by going with just kind of regular real estate photography. And so I appreciate
planning ahead for it, I think is huge, that people need to value it on the front end enough that it's like, okay, I'm putting this aside and I'm doing this no matter what, right? Yes. Like I'm not just going to blow this and be like, oh, it's fine, I'll put this somewhere else and I'll just get cheap photos. It's like, commit to it and value it and make sure it happens.
Part of your design, a fee or whatever your setup design, all that, put it in there.
Build it in.
I love that, you know, you bring that up as well. Just have it in the budget. But again, just, you know, don't skimp on the design first. You have to have that first, you know, right property, right market, designed and create these immersive experiences. Then we got to articulate it, right? We're talking about the photography is helping us articulate all of that stuff. And so
it's a stair step. You can't skip any of the steps.
Yeah, exactly. So awesome, Christine. Well, listen, we're getting to the end of our conversation, wrapping things up. You know the drill. You've been on this before, but I always ask at the end of these is, you know what you know now, lessons learned, you know, going back to your younger self. What advice would you give somebody that's listening to this that you're a few steps ahead of?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest things, you know, that we look back is I feel like we would have not gone more all in the sense of like money necessarily, but just being open to just like going all in on the design stuff. And again, for us, that was such an evolution you know, we knew, you know, we'd been through the course and we knew some, but just really like having that buy-in and that belief and just doing the things to stand out, the things that you would never do in your home, right? Like I would never have orange chairs in my house, but man, they're killer in photos. And I wouldn't paint giant murals and I wouldn't have painted my fireplace, you know, ocean blue, whatever, but they're killer in photos and people love it. And so I do feel like kind of like being willing to take those design risks and thinking like a guest and things like, you know, like what would I want there as far as like amenities and what would make this amazing? And then just being willing to take design risks on the front end so that we didn't have to keep adding things or keep redoing things kind of over and over again.
I love that. And I love that you brought that up because like you, it's not that you didn't do it in the first part, but we didn't go as all in as we're going now. And that like I love how you articulate it as a design risk because this is untraditional design. The things that we suggest are not what you would do in your home, right? Your traditional designer is not going to come and design your home like this, but they're creating these really fun, really immersive experiences, still feel very high end. They still feel very like cohesive when we're there yet. But you know, it feels like a risk and, in my opinion, it is the biggest unfair advantage we are gaining within our Vodacy family is really trying to buy in on that create like really bold, immersive type of an experience. And I think that's a really, really pertinent piece of advice right now, especially in today's markets, to be able to go in and really kind of create a category of our own, right? And really because we are now differentiating ourselves because there's a lot of resistance to that because there is a, like you say, design risk. Like it feels like a risk to do that. And I love the way you articulated that. So Christine, it's been awesome. It's been a fun conversation.
Good to see you as always. Tell Kevin.
We missed him, but I very much enjoyed our conversation today. I know our listeners do because we get that feedback on a regular basis every single week. And so those of you listening, I hope and know that you did enjoy this conversation, but I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And if you did get value out of this and you know somebody else that would, I always ask you a couple favors at the end of every episode. Is first one, share the show. Those things help us a lot. Lots of you that listen on a regular basis because we can see stats and algorithm things tell us all of what you're doing. About 56% of you do not subscribe that are regular listeners. Please subscribe and follow us. I know that you're on. We love you listening, but if you follow and subscribe, that helps the show grow. And since we don't run ads or sponsorships, that's the number one way it grows. And so big favor, if you do that, we appreciate it. If you have more than 30 seconds, like it or review it on whatever platform you're watching or listening on. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friend.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website? Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.